I think it's better for people to hear facts rather than conclusions. And if you hear the facts of something rather than have the president say who the good guy is or the bad guy, or the news media say who is the good guy or the bad guy, or Carter's getting a lot of flack. And so I think we hear the fact that Carter went to have this discussion and he's getting all this flack. I think people, because of their passions and their sensitivities, they'll say, "Oh, but Carter's a nice guy. He has good intentions." But then some would say, "Oh, but our government is a nice guy and has good intentions." I think, and again, we get spun up over the rhetoric without actually looking at the substance. So if you know a little history about what Carter was doing, you know what may have motivated. He got a Nobel Peace Prize, and it worked before with Egypt. Now he's approaching Hamas, and Hamas, in their covenant, has said that they reject what was happening there in the Camp David Accords. Now let's see what they say else they say in the covenant. Now and then, the call goes out for a convening of an international conference looking for ways of solving the Palestinian question. Some accept, others reject the idea for this or other reasons, with one stipulation more for consent to convening the conference and participating in it. Knowing the parties constituting the conference, their past and present attitudes towards Muslim problems, the Islamic Resistant Movement, that's Hamas, does not consider these conferences capable of realizing the demands, restoring the rights, or doing justice to the oppressed. These conferences are only ways of setting the infidels in the land of the Muslims as arbitrators. When did the infidels do justice to the believers? This last portion of this paragraph is important, and I don't know if Mr. Carter had read this. I mean, before I came to talk about this on the radio, I read this. I don't know, did Mr. Carter read this? Because, and some of the questions that's come up on the news is, was he lending credibility or credence to the group that our government, the American government and other governments, has labeled as a terrorist organization? Did he read this? Because one of the things that I've been reading, I've been very curious. We've got so many concerns about this Islamic terrorist and things like that. And you wonder how much is hype, how much is we've got to label the bad guys, and how much is actually a very serious threat. So what I've done is I've had to go back and read. I haven't read the entire Quran yet, but I'm on my way. And I've been reading some things, and I wanted to get quotes that have come strictly out of the Quran to see what are these guys relying on, those who are labeled as the radical extremist. What are they referencing? What is the motive? One of the things before I read this covenant, I read information that would show me that there's a teaching in the Quran that says that it's okay to lie to your enemies because you're going to deceive them. In fact, even to the point of denying Allah out on the surface, but you're doing it lying. Because the goal then is to deceive your enemy into a place of complacency and pacifism so that you can ultimately eliminate them. Eliminate them. There's a quote here in this covenant. And I realize with this radio, you know, the one thing about radio is my hope is that it stirs up thoughts, and it stirs up, it's going to stir up passions, it's going to stir up things. But my goal is to give information and then have people rationally consider it when they look at the things in the news, to try to put it in perspective with some details. Consider that teaching that it's okay to lie to your enemy, and you kind of reel them in and shake hands with them, make a pledge with them. And oh, by the way, it's okay to break a pledge with an enemy because you're really making the pledge to make them vulnerable. That's really, if you understand some teachings that some of these Hamas guys have before you read the covenant, then you can see it actually showing up in the covenant. So look at these perspectives here. They say Islamic Resistance Movement, or Hamas, does not consider these conferences capable of realizing the demands, restoring the rights, or doing justice to the oppressed. These conferences are only ways of setting the infidels in the land of the Muslims as arbitrators. When did the infidels do justice to the believers? This is in Hamas's covenant. So when Carter goes to visit them and they're visiting with him, I would, by reading this, say, well, they're going to use him as a propaganda, and anything they say to him, they can't go halfway with him. And I wonder if he understood that. You would think he would. I'm going to read some more things out of this covenant. says, but the Jews will not be pleased with thee, neither the Christians, until thou follow their religion. Say, the direction of Allah is the true direction, and verily thou wilt follow their desires. After the knowledge which hath been given thee, thou shalt find no patron or protector against Allah. And then it goes on to say, there is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. So this is what Hamas believes. There is no solution, not Jimmy Carter or anybody else, for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. This is in their covenant. The Palestinian people know better than to consent to having their future rights and fate toyed with. Why do I mention this? What I'm doing is, let's look at the Hamas organization that Mr. Carter went to talk to. And so you wonder what he's thinking going into it. What is Hamas's objective? Is it political peace for the Palestinian people in the what they would call the occupied territories? And the Hamas is now a majority party in the Gaza area, not in the Golan Heights, thank you, caller, and not in the West Bank, but in the Gaza. They call it the Gaza Strip. Since they are a majority there, they're being given governmental authority, governmental responsibility. But what is the desire, the actual desire of Hamas, their political platform, is one, to take care of their own people and take care of social work, health, medical things, vitality, which is absolutely important. Somebody's got to do it. And if it's not done, the world is at fault since we know about it. But their chief ends of Hamas is to kill Israel completely, to make them die, make them go away. And until that objective is achieved, Hamas is not really going to be shooting straight in their discussions. We'll be back.
Fossils, they can form quickly. Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the powerful book, Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots. You know, most people think that it takes millions of years to form a fossil. I think that's because they've been so indoctrinated by evolutionary ideas. I have a book by an evolutionist that tries to explain how fish fossils form. There's a picture of a fish in a pond, and then the fish dies and it sinks to the bottom. And slowly over long periods of time, it's covered by mud and then turns into a fish fossil. Now there are billions of fish fossils in the earth today, and they're beautifully preserved. In fact, many of them indicate the fish hadn't rotted at all. What does happen when a fish dies? Well, here's one example. Now, I don't recommend this, but if you put some cyanide in your aquarium, you'll notice that the dead fish usually don't sink. They usually float. And when they start to sink, they rot and fall apart. This process would not result in the beautifully formed fish fossils like the ones we observe in the ground today. They must have formed quickly, catastrophically. In fact, most fossils formed through Noah's flood a few thousand years ago that buried billions of creatures and turned them into fossils.
Today, I'm going to talk about some very, these are troubling things because we're all supposed to be getting along, right? Well, it may be that there's people in this world that have I don't have any intention of getting long mindset. One of the things I've been doing recently is I've been studying World War II. I've been studying Hitler. I've been studying his speeches. I was going to go on and read some things about Stalin and some of these things. What did he do? What did he say that encouraged his people to do what they did? They did a lot of silly, silly things that were very destructive, that really created a lot of upheaval in the world, that killed a lot of people, made a lot of people very unhappy for quite a long time. What was it that he was saying? What was the sell? What was it that stirred people up? So I've been studying Hitler and some of his speeches, and it's kind of troubling. One of the things I saw in the movie Expelled, in that movie, they quote Darwin, and I believe it was in the fifth chapter of Darwin's Descent of Man, is there's some commentary by Darwin that talks about breeding and how humans further the wrong types of people, and it's contrary to the evolution. And then I read some things in Hitler's speeches that went right along his 1937 speech, Appeal to the People, to looking back over the previous 9 years from a speech he gave back in 1928. There was a lot of striking cause and effect kind of thing, a mind thinking of Darwin playing itself out in some of Hitler's speeches. So what I've been doing is I'm trying to find out what was being said. And the reason I'm doing it is because when people start to say things, they have a plan of attack, they have a plan of arranging society. And by the way, society is you. The people have plans of making you think a certain way. They do. Some of the things that Hitler was against are things that I think a lot of people ought to be against in our current society. And he gave a Marxist view, and he talked about some way of thinking where you make everybody bow to a certain mindset, and that's the Marxist view. And he described his own people as being a folk mindset. Well, you know, he was being hypocritical is what it was. But then he also complained about the individualist mindset. And see, we've got a group in our society today that are challenging people who are not conforming to the social norm. There's some troubling things. And if we don't stop and consider these things, consider why our nation was made the way it is, why the government of the nation was created the way it was, what is our responsibility toward our fellow citizen, our neighbor and our family and our children, folks, our society is going to go the way of every other nation in the world. And it's going to be on our watch, our you know, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire kind of thing. And it's going to be on our shoulders. We have a responsibility. We can't just check out our brains at the door and pay our cable TV bill and wallow away our minds to the things that are just sort of being fed to us by the entertainment world. It's going to take some brain calorie burning. Okay. Let me show you some of the things that Hamas said in their covenant. They said, and I'm going to quote them, because of the situation surrounding the formation of the organization, talk about the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, that was the primary or principal party leadership over the occupied territories up until in the Gaza. Recently, Hamas got some power. Because of the situation surrounding the formations of what they were talking about, it was the PLO, of the ideological confusion prevailing in the Arab world as a result of the ideological invasion under whose influence the Arab world has fallen since the defeat of the Crusaders, and which was and still is intensified through Orientalists, missionaries, and imperialists. The organization adopted the idea of the secular state, and that is how we view it. So they are at odds with the PLO because of their secular views. In other words, let's not just kill everybody in Israel and everybody on the planet for the sake of our religious fervor. They go on and talked about the Zionists, those who are taking the Israel and putting it aside for the Jews. But I was interested the way they listed. They actually have a list of people who they consider the enemy. They listed Freemasons, the Rotary, Lions Clubs, Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, and other sabotage groups. Some of these groups probably did not know that they were on the list of enemies of Hamas. All these organizations, whether secret or open, work in the interest of Zionism and according to its instructions. They aim at undermining societies, destroying values, corrupting consciences, deteriorating character, and annihilating Islam. It is behind the drug trade and alcoholism in all its kinds so as to facilitate its control and expansion. I got an email from a gentleman who's in Pakistan today, and I think he would have a different take on what is leading people to the drug trade and abuse in some of those countries. And it's pretty horrific. And hopefully I'll get him on this show when he gets back here shortly. Some of the things that the Hamas groups were saying, and I can't go into the whole thing, it was a huge document, parallel the things that were being said in Nazi Germany about the Jews. They parallel some of the things that were saying in Russia, in Lenin and Stalin Russia, when Jews were being killed by just amazing amounts. Some of the same things were being said. In fact, a document was quoted here on the Hamas and the Hamas covenant that goes back to, I believe, 1919 or early century, that talked about kind of a world conspiracy that was being blamed on the Jews to take over the world. So it's kind of weird.